This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. I went out to Hollywood the other day to do a very Hollywood thing, which was to talk about Hollywood. Specifically, talk to the woman who runs one of the two big Hollywood trade papers. There's Variety, and then there's the Hollywood Reporter, and that one is run by Janice Min. Min is the chief creative officer at the Hollywood Reporter. She also runs a little music magazine you might have heard of called Billboard. She came out here about 5 years ago from New York after running Us Weekly for a while. All right, so anyway, I went out to her office, cooled my heels in the lobby for a bit, picked up the most recent issue of the Hollywood Reporter, flipped through it, which prompted a couple of questions, so I led with those when we started talking. Here you go. So I'll tell you what, I was in the waiting room flipping through a copy of the magazine, which I will say again, just for the record, I am taking home with me. I know it's a freebie. And there's all kinds of stuff in here that I don't know that I would expect to find in a Hollywood magazine, right? There's, oh my God, what if Hillary Clinton flames out? Right. There's the heat index, who's up, who's not. Lester Holt apparently is up.
Yes.
When you got here to remake this magazine, is this what you had in mind?
It's actually exactly what I had in mind. And if you look at the very first issue we did of the Hollywood Reporter, which came out in November of 2010, it is almost identical in terms of the content and the feel of it and the look of it to this. I was of the mindset at the time when we were doing this, that Hollywood was such a strange place in that you had this incredibly visual industry with storytellers. Everyone in the world is fascinated by Hollywood, yet the press that covered Hollywood was nowhere. We wasn't keeping up with that conversation
right there.
At all.
It was nowhere. I mean, it was old and fuddy-duddy-ish, right?
Yes.
You had old Variety, you had the old Hollywood Reporter. Mm-hmm. And it was a little dusty.
Yeah, it was a lot dusty. And, you know, it's no secret. The Hollywood Reporter was pretty much, you know, one foot in the grave, the other foot, you know, very closely behind it.
So why did you take this job?
Because good question. I felt like I had an outsider's perspective on this industry here where I could look at it and say, wait, if I were an editor working here, I would be doing this and that. And I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do so many basic things, but I know how to edit a publication.
You came from New York, Us Weekly, the world of celebrity journalism in a this will sound pejorative, I don't mean it to, but in a baser sense.
Yeah, completely.
Right? Okay.
Absolutely.
Did people look down their noses at you when you got here?
I think people were terrified. They thought, oh my God, this is going to be Us Weekly part two. And, you know, there was a moment in time when I did Us Weekly, which was between 2003 and 2009, and where it really changed the culture of Hollywood and celebrity. And, Us Weekly rose alongside reality television. We were the first people to ever put The Bachelor on the cover.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, things that I think now you can fast forward 10 years and say, oh my God, these are the things that have destroyed society. You know, I remember when I left Us Weekly, they did a going away video for me, and Kim Kardashian, who was sort of a nobody, was just becoming a somebody. They got her to say on the video, like something funny, like, thanks for making my, can I say this word? Thanks for making my, you know, ASS, you know, a star.
And I would point out, just because I was flipping through it in the waiting room, there is a piece in this magazine.
It all comes full circle.
Here it is. How Butts Stole the Spotlight from Boobs.
Yep.
Here we are in Janice Min's newest to Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah. But, you know, listen, that I love that story. Merle Ginsburg, our style writer, did that story. And, you know, I had asked her to do it because the fact in there that in 2004, the most searched Google terms about one's butt was how to make it smaller. And in 2014, it's how to make it bigger. It's the fastest growing plastic surgery. What crazy people are doing.
Wait, to make your butt bigger is the fastest growing plastic surgery now?
Yes. Fastest growing plastic surgery. And then it's changed the nature of the red carpet, what people wear, how they pose. And we can all thank Kim Kardashian and maybe somewhere way back Us Weekly. You're welcome.
That's right. On behalf of society, thank you. With full acknowledgement that your bosses will eventually hear or read a transcript of this interview, it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
You've turned it around. You're having great success. Now what?
Well, so this is, I will use the biggest cliche that is used in media now.
Go ahead, and then I'll press you on it, but go ahead.
We would like our content to live on all platforms. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, just a couple of times. Yeah.
So listen, I think our digital success has been, we just got our February Comscore numbers, which we sort of live and die by on our Comscore numbers. And We are now, it was our biggest month ever for The Hollywood Reporter, our biggest month ever for Billboard. I'll be curious to see where this all goes. I know the conversation in media is, you know, it's just pennies on the dollar, though, compared to what you used to get. So where does it all go? And that's a conversation we have actively all the time here. We have, you know, we have video that we do. We have roundtables that air on television. We actually had a conversation here the other day. Why don't we have podcasts? Do we have a podcast strategy? No, we don't. Let's have a podcast strategy. I mean, some of it is just Wild West stuff.
Sounds a little bit like you're building an empire.
I don't know if I'm building an empire, but I think that what we do is what we do with The Hollywood Reporter and Billboard is something special in that we have access to these worlds and credibility in these worlds that are very, very hard to penetrate.
How much is your success here at The Hollywood Reporter, digital and print, tied to the success of Hollywood? Does Hollywood have to have a good year for you to be having a good year?
No, because Hollywood has had, you know, very not good years, including recently. Last year, box office was down, TV ratings are down, even though overall television audience is up, is just spread out everywhere, probably on too many channels. But one of the other interesting things I observed when I got here was that the story of Hollywood internally was so negative. It was a sport to talk about who was screwing up, who was about to lose his or her job. Hmm. But there was also a great story to tell out of Hollywood. I noticed this right away in New York. The Wall Street factor in New York, you have a whole community of people whose one goal in life is to make money. In Hollywood, you have a whole group of people whose goal in life is to make money, but along the way, they'd like to be critically acclaimed. They'd like to be be thought of as smart people, intelligent people, funny. They want to create something that they are proud of and on their way to making that money. Nobody here deliberately puts out a bad movie. Like, everyone actually believes in it. And I think the level of work you put into a movie or television show, and you have basically one day where it's decided if you failed or succeeded, whether it's at the box office or in television ratings, it's almost heartbreaking. And you sort of understand why people sometimes behave the way they do here, because there's so much on the line with every project that you put out there.
Jenna Smith, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming by.